It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosie.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosie.
Hello there, film lovers.
It's hot.
Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msosie@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Sosie. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. We have a blog which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The man's voice you just heard is the man who has how many brackets?
Just two.
That's Kobe Slagle.
Hello.
And how are the brackets doing?
Okay.
Welcome to the sports portion of Film Sociology.
They're all right? Yeah.
You still in the hunt?
Yeah.
You were smart enough not to pick Duke?
Yeah, no, that's just...
Or Ohio State?
Yeah.
That's fine. We have company.
We do.
We do have some guests. We have the manager of the Garfield Park Arts Center and somebody I've known for a long, long time. That's Leslie Meyer.
Hello, Matthew.
You got to come in a little closer, dear.
Okay, only if you ask nicely.
Yeah, we know each other. And projectionist extraordinaire. You've seen his work, and you've seen his work all over Indianapolis. It's Eric Grayson. Hi, Eric.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for coming. And they're here because a week from tomorrow... It is a week from tomorrow.
Yes.
Fredonia comes to Indianapolis. It comes to the Garfield Park Art Center. They're showing Duck Soup as a part of the Vintage Nights.
Vintage Movie Nights series.
So
that's it. It'll be at 7 o'clock.
Very good. So we'll be talking about that in a little bit. But first we're going to talk about, kind of like the Blue Show, something old and something new, nothing blue, nothing borrowed.
No. Well, then it's not like the Blue Show. It's not like the Blue Show.
It's not like the intro of the Blue Show. Shut up, Kobe. new in theaters today. Three films have opened, and I got to see all three. So I guess we'll start with Muppets Most Wanted, because I think that it's kind of neck and neck between people who were asking about Muppets Most Wanted and the Grand Budapest Hotel. So we'll get that out of the way. With the success of the last Muppet movie, and by the way, thank you, Jason Segel, for that, because I think a lot of that had to do with his work and his involvement. Disney has a new franchise that they can sequelize to death, and I hear no denying it. But... So now we get Muppets Most Wanted, where there's a villain who looks a lot like Kermit the Frog, except he's Russian and he has a mole.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be the old switcheroo identity. Not quite Prisoners of Zenda. No, not even close to Prisoners of Zenda. But so that's going to happen. And he gets thrown into a Russian gulag. And guys, don't you wish all Russian gulags were run by Tina Fey?
I know I do.
I know I do, too. I don't think that's happening. I don't think...
They would be a lot funnier.
Hopefully, one would hope. But yes, Ricky Gervais and Ty Burrell and a slew. You can count the cameos because that helps pass some of the time. I'm wondering now if, because I remember the second Muppet movie, which was, of course, The Great Muppet Caper, which was also kind of a crime story. So I'm wondering if the third Disney Muppet film will be them going to Manhattan, if they're doing some variation of what they've already done with the first three films, kind of like the Star Trek saga. I mean, there's con, sort of, but not quite like the first one. So we're just going to... couple of things here helped the music, and it's, I know it's not the I don't think it's the Flight of the Conchords guys who did the music this time around. They did the first one and got an Oscar for it. Very cool. But one of the things that does help is that the music, while maybe not as memorable as last film, they do keep it in very specific different styles. Kind of like South Park, where there's the Broadway tune, there's the power ballad, there's the R&B soul ballad sung by the Russian Kermit Frog villain thingy. I sound like my daughter now. So the music is there. Couple notes, folks. I know one of the things that also helps out with the Muppets that it's fun for kids and it's fun for grown-ups because there will be stuff that us grown-ups will recognize or remember. In fact, proud dad moment at the theater on Monday night. I took Lynn and Emma with me. At the beginning of the film, they talk about what kind of sequel the next Muppet movie would be. And there's Gonzo with his idea, and there's another character with his idea. And then we get a shot being told by the Swedish chef. There's a Swedish chef in black and white playing chess with death. I laughed louder than everybody. Emma laughed because she got the reference. Because many years ago, yeah, I'm patting myself on the back. Many years ago, Emma had asked about this famous scene. So I showed her that scene of the Seventh Seal. Haven't gotten her to get into the whole Seventh Seal, but she understood the reference. So Nerd Dads Unite.
It was
worth it. There's also an homage to Shawshank Redemption because there's a poster of Miss Piggy looking like Rita Hayworth and Gilda. So also got that one more than anybody else. So anyway, little bits like that are fun. Macarena jokes in 2014, not needed. Celine Dion jokes in 2014, not needed. The villain putting his pinky up to his cheek in 2014, not needed. Mike Myers may not agree, but it's not needed. So there's a little bit of waste in the humor department. I don't think it's as sharp as the first Muppet film. It's still watchable. It's still good. It's just not as it's a bit of a step down from the last film. So on one hand, it is worth checking out, but it's not as nearly as strong as the last
one. Otto, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
Very good, Kobe.
There you go.
Also opening in theaters today, the latest perfectly strategically centered film from Wes Anderson called The Grand Budapest Hotel. Do we have the audio for this?
Yes, we do.
Let's share some of the dry wit of Wes Anderson in trailer form.
Why do you want to be a lobby boy?
Who wouldn't? At the Grand Budapest, sir.
And so my life began. Junior lobby boy in training under the strict command of Monsieur Gustav H. Many of the hotel's most valued and distinguished guests came for him.
I love you.
I love you. She was dynamite in the sack, by the way.
She was 84.
I've had older.
This was also when I met Agatha.
She's charming. She's so charming.
Is he flirting with you?
Yes.
I approve of this union.
I became his pupil, and he was to be my counselor and guardian.
The police are here.
Tell them I'll be right down. She's been murdered, and you think I did it.
Hey! Stop!
You're looking so well, darling. You really are. I don't know what sort of cream they've put on you down at the morgue, but I want some.
This is Madame D's last will and testament. To Monsieur Gustav H., I bequeath a painting known as Boy with Apple.
Wow.
What? Who's Gustav H.?
I'm afraid that's me, darling.
If I learn you ever once laid a finger on my mother's body, living or dead...
I go to bed with all my friends.
We need to make a plan for your survival. Hide this. It's in code and you might need a magnifying glass to read it, but it tells you exactly where and how to find Boy with Apple.
I'm a baker. I'm not a fence, if that's the term.
I want roadblocks at every junction for 50 kilometers. I want rail blocks at every train station for 100 kilometers.
Get in!
I want 50 men and 10 bloodhounds ready in 5 minutes.
You can't arrest him simply because he's a bloody immigrant.
Take your hands off my lobby boy!
Have you ever been questioned by the authorities?
Yes, on one occasion.
What?
I was arrested and tortured by the rebel militia after the desert uprising.
Right. Well, you know the drill then. Zip it.
Hijinks ensue.
Hijinks do ensue. Funny plot things ensue. There you go. Kobe, have you seen any of Mr. Anderson's work?
I don't know.
Rushmore, Fantastic Mr. Fox, Royal Tenenbaums.
No.
Moonrise Kingdom.
Nope.
Darjeeling Limited.
Yes.
You saw that?
Yes.
That was your first Wes Anderson film?
Yes.
Ooh.
That's too bad.
Try again. Please, please try again on that. So the
I'll
other
skip
thing.
The Life Aquatic, maybe, too.
Did you see Life Aquatic?
No.
Lower on the list. Lower on the list. Bottle Rocket.
No.
He's looking through the list. Sorry. I have Kobe multitasking, so I have him answering questions and looking online. So the other thing is, Anderson is one of those filmmakers. I guess I should check in. So, Eric, where are you at in your Wes Anderson world? Because I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, do you want to see this? I think you should. But
I do want to see it. Yeah.
Right.
I love the trailer. I saw the trailer last night. Looks like a lot of fun. Ralph Fiennes is playing himself, so, you know, that sounds fun, too.
I hope he's playing himself. Hopefully nobody thinks he's like him in Coriolanus or Schindler's List, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've liked some of his other works. He is kind of hit and miss, but, you know, that's what art is about, is being hit and miss. Sometimes you really strike it out of the park, and sometimes it's like, okay, thanks.
Friday's at 5 on HD2. Leslie, your Wes Anderson background?
Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yes.
All the time in my house. Moonrise Kingdom over and over and over again. And I actually liked The Life Aquatic.
It's okay.
I just like Bill Murray.
Well, he's in this film a little bit. There's a slew of cameos, especially of the Anderson tone.
I had kind of a Jacques Cousteau obsession when I was a kid. So really,
did you?
Yeah.
Oh, do
absolutely.
Tell.
I wanted to be a marine biologist.
You wanted
that
to be on the
thing.
You wanted to be a member of the crew on the Calypso.
Yeah, like totally. That's exactly what I wanted to do.
Now
and look where I am.
Would he make you do the dangerous stuff or no? I Wild Kingdom guy would always.
Oh, Marlon Perkins.
Marlon Perkins would let Dave go circumcise a water buffalo while he was sitting having tea with a parasol. Mm-hmm. Did Jacques do that? He was like, yeah, look, there's a squid. Go play with it.
No, Jacques sometimes. Okay. Jacques really took on the danger himself.
Okay.
But his younger sons often did too. One of them got killed not too awfully long ago.
Well,
so you're
that.
More hardcore than I am. I didn't even know that.
Hey, I used to watch that too. I wanted
I
to sound
it.
Like Rod Serling. See, that was what I wanted.
That's
to
an
do.
Impressive goal in life.
Yeah, and I can't do that.
Night Gallery is also on MeTV, what we talked about earlier.
That's great.
We of course here want to sound like either Tommy Wiseau or Werner Herzog. We still want them to do pledge spots for us, but that's another story. That's another time here or there. Yeah, I think Anderson's one of those filmmakers that he sets the bar high for his followers, mm-hmm. his fans. And so even if it's something, I think, yeah, when his worst film is okay, you know, I think it's still heads and tails above most of the films that are out there today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But we expect a home run from a filmmaker of this caliber every time. And the Grand Budapest Hotel is a lot of fun. It is kind of his version of the 30s screwball comedy. And I remember there's a great, if you go on freshair.npr.org, Terry interviewed Wes. She's interviewed him several times, but she talked about the combination of realistic and the unreal that he captures in his films. So when I say it's a 30s screwball comedy, it's not running at all force. It's not running like His Girl Friday. It's not a nonstop gab fest. There are moments of that, and there are wacky moments of that. Hilarity ensues, as you say, Mr. Slagle.
Yes.
So there
various chicanery,
and there is various scenes of chicanery in this film, shot perfectly centered. And I believe if you go to the AV Club and the Onion, Great Job Internet, somebody has done a clip of all of Mr. Anderson's perfectly centered shots. So. If you want time to kill at work. Anyway, those are out there. But yeah, the main anchor, the one carrying this film, the one Kobe that's scoring 45 and rebounding 20, that's Ralph Fiennes. And it is his loosest performance, I think, to date. I think the last time we got to see him be this silly was Victor, the ex-fiance in Curse of the Were-Rabbit. From Wallace and Gromit.
Oh, yeah.
Ralph Fiennes does not get to do comedy, which is kind of sad. I think the last time he did comedy was Made in Manhattan, and then everybody makes fun of that film. And it became a punchline and Knocked Up. So the fact... You stop that. So the fact that he gets a chance to really, you know, show off his comedic chops as this kind of foppish ruler of the hotel, and yeah, likes to date and do other things with older women, especially in this one, play with heavy age makeup by Tilda Swinton. Yes, you'll now that I mention it, you'll recognize it. But yeah, a lot of fun with that. Also, special props to Tony Revolari. Hope I'm saying that right. He plays the bellhop, and it's his first film, and he kind of keeps he keeps his feet moving. He's able to keep up with the likes of Ralph Fiennes and Tilda Swinton and Bill Murray and the rest of the gang. And there's a slew of people, as we said, Edward Norton, Harvey Keitel, film sociology guest F. Murray Abraham, Jude Law, Tom Wilkinson, and Jeff Goldblum. So it's a lot of fun. It is a goofy thing set in the 1930s, and it's not really Russia. It's not Hungary. It's kind of its own fictitious Anderson-type European country where everything is perfectly centered. But definitely a lot of fun. Definitely worth checking out.
Yes!
Okay. Also opening today is Divergent, which I had to talk to Mr. Slagle about this one, and I know it's based on a very popular piece of literature.
Yes,
that I believe the author was in college when she got it published. Bully for her, but I tell the story was I'm sorry, Cole, I'm embarrassing us. A few months ago, before Mr. Slagle got married, he came up to me and inquired, and I can't quote him word for word because we're on radio, but he had inquired about the many females' obsession with Austen and E.M. Forster and the period pieces. You know, the quote-unquote period chick flicks based on classic literature.
They're so pretty.
Sounds familiar?
Evidence builds.
Yeah, evidence builds.
They're so pretty.
So there is that. Well, I got to turn the tables and say to Kobe, because I will paraphrase this, but what is it with women and this Edwardian era? And I went into his office and I said, what is it with younger people and this futuristic? I can't wait to get hate mail from the younger side because of now with Hunger Games and what there's going to be two more again, got to make two films out of one book. And so between that. Between The Giver, which my wife just directed at Earlham, and I just saw the first trailer for it. Very excited about that. Between sitting through Ender's Game and then sitting through... I'm done with teenagers in a podium society having to pick out their own future and Big Brother's watching. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm done with it. And Divergent doesn't help.
Yeah.
It's. I think my colleague Jeff Marker referred to it as Hunger Games Only Dumber. We have a young girl played by Shailene Woodley, who was really good in The Descendants. She was one of Clooney's daughters, and her parents are Tony Goldwyn and Ashley Judd. I love cinema gene pools. and it's one of these, you're broken into five groups. Boy, it's like high school or John Hughes film. And You're supposed to, at a certain age, maybe it's a bar mitzvah, I don't know, but you're supposed to select where you're going to be amongst the group. So will you follow in the footsteps of your parents, or will you go off on your own? Dun, dun, dun.
But what happens? What
it's like
happens?
The B movie.
What?
It's like the B movie. Are you gonna? What job are you gonna do? I have kids. All I do is watch cartoons.
Please
those
tell me.
My only
I got that.
I'm
I was
sorry.
Like, I don't think.
It's like the B movie.
I don't think even Jerry Seinfeld has mentioned that film since it came
out. Are you
going to
go off on your own and leave the hive? Or are you going to stay and do a job?
Only like darker and set in futuristic
right.
Chicago.
Exactly.
So,
is that what it is?
Yes, it's Chicago. It's like CGI'd Chicago, as if not Berwyn, Chicago. And the girl winds up picking.
What happens if you don't fit into one of the things?
Oh, then there's an off branch because she wants to become the quote unquote enforcer. She wants to be a soldier. Mm-hmm. So she has to go through the regimental training. Yes, it is a training montage. And it's feeling a lot like a non-satirical version of Starship Troopers because she's got to pass these tests.
Wait, Starship Troopers was a parody?
He's kidding, of course.
Wow.
Well, although don't tell Paul Verhoeven that, he'll yell at you. So there's training sequences, and if you fail, you can't go back to your family. You become an outcast, which means you're sitting smoking cigarettes on the loading dock at high school.
It's whatever, man. I don't care.
Yeah, they say that. conformist. That's a lot of cigarettes and a lot of coffee at Pepe's at 3 in the morning. So,
and a great episode of South Park.
It is a great episode of South Park because they do make fun of the vampires. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you like that.
That's a good one.
So, yeah, there's a little Starship Troopers. There's a lot of Hunger Games. There's all the futuristic stuff. And my daughter enjoyed it. I know she's not listening to the podcast because she's 12. She has better things to do. But I it's just old, tired material. And you're talking to a guy that's watched every blaxploitation and every cop film in the last 40 years. And I don't need any more of these right now. And Hunger Games is coming out when? Is it next year?
I don't know. Probably.
You're the Hunger Games correspondent.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, the Catching Fire just came out on DVD.
Yes, it
Blu-ray,
did.
So,
yeah, I don't. I don't need it. I'm sorry. And there's the other thing. You know when you start asking logical questions or, okay, snarky questions while you're watching a film, that does not help.
My daughter hates that.
How old is she?
She's so mad at me. She's 12.
Oh, my. No, she's not 12. She's 12.
She's 20.
Yep.
She's like, Mom, just watch the movie.
Is they're as they're training, they have these bullets that when, you know, it's like paintball, only harder, hurting, more hurt. when you get hit with the bullet, it gives you the feeling of being shot by a gun, but only for a few minutes. So that makes me wonder, if you get a headshot, what does that do to you?
Are you
dead and then you come back?
Just for a few minutes.
Oh, wait. It's this PG-13 movie, so they'll only get shot in the non-vital organs.
You know what, man? I'm going to play this in honor of somebody.
You drink your Haterade.
I do drink my Haterade.
Being a hater.
Are you saying I'm snarking on this film a little too much?
I will probably end up seeing it because Bianca's read actually, I think all three books are out now.
She's read these?
I don't know if she's read the third one yet. She might. I don't think she's read the third one yet, but this will likely be in our movie going list as well as Grand Budapest Hotel because
she did mention that.
Fair Sweet Bianca is a big Ralph Fiennes fan.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
It has been said before, I think Ralph Fiennes is my favorite actor.
Wow.
Never let her get on a plane with him.
So there you go. But anyway, Grand Budapest Hotel, likely Divergent as well. But she likes the books. I've not read them. I don't.
But you dig Hunger Games.
Yeah.
But you don't need
it's
any,
a little bit,
you don't need any more of these, do you?
No, but it's they're similar but they're different. And you know, in the Hunger Games in Divergent you have to pick your destiny.
Yes, you have to pick your destiny. And Big Brother's watching.
Yeah.
And she's played by Kate Winslet, who's got nothing to do, which is really a shame, because it's Kate flipping Winslet.
I don't know. I don't really get the premise of it.
No. And did you see Ender's Game?
No.
I rented Ender's Game. I missed it the first time and made a point of renting it because I missed it the first time. And I wanted to see what happened to the kid from Hugo and a girl from True Grit and watch Harrison Ford not care, you know, take another paycheck and just kind of sleep his way through a film. Oh, by the way, of course, if you know the author of Ender's Game, you know there are no gay people in his world. Anyway, moving on. That's a variation of my Mel Gibson joke. Anytime we bring up Mr. Gibson's work, yeah. But yeah, and Ender's Game was kind of like that.
Theme and variations on a Mel Gibson joke by Matthew Soucy.
You're welcome.
Fridays at 5.
This is your pledge dollars at work. Yeah, but Ender's Game was kind of the same way. This kid who has to go through training, and there's, you know, guess he comes across, of course, the veteran trainee who's just a tough guy and it's gonna, you know, he's got to stand toe to toe with him. The girl goes through this as well in Divergent. So, and this thing was 2 hours and 20 minutes. Not needed. Give me more running and jumping. You know what? Do we have Gina asking why can't there be cool stuff?
Oh yeah.
Why can't we just see them do cool stuff all the time? I'm in a movie. I have a limited amount of time. Be cool.
See, I don't even know what happens in Divergent. I
mean, futuristic things happen.
Futuristic Chicago-y type things.
Yeah, so it got to the point where Lynn brought up maybe we should show Emma Logan's Run. And the only reason why my daughter knows Logan's Run is because that's what I call broad ripple at night. Nobody over the age of 30 is allowed there at night. So Thank you, Eric. All right, we're going to take a short break so we can recover the mics, and we'll talk about what is new on DVD and Blu-ray and what is going on at IU Cinema. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. Just a reminder, we kind of went to break a little early because, well, it's you got to end strong. And I think a good comparing Logan's Run, the Broad Ripple, that's pretty strong before the break. But I want to mention the documentary that Ed Johnson and I talked about last week, Tim's Vermeer, is still going on at Keystone Art. Go see that. If you're a fan of painting, if you are a fan of the creative process, or just watching a guy and his obsession. I mean, it is a creative obsession with what he goes through. And yeah, Eric,
it's also an art film.
It is an art film.
And it's a film about art. See what it did there?
Stick with your brackets, Cobe.
It's also an art film.
Yes, and it's not dumb. So, Eric, you saw it as well.
That was one of the best films I've seen in ages. I really, really loved that. Mm-hmm. I sat there entranced the whole way watching exactly how he was doing this and how he was figuring it out and all that stuff. Because I'm a techno geek and an art fan, so it really appealed to both sides of my limited brain.
Oh, it's hey, you've represented strong here today. So, but yeah, I mean, there are edge of seats moments, whether it's he has a miss stroke, mm-hmm. or if the camera angle is bad, or you know his back has trouble. I mean, it's literally the most tense film about painting.
Yes,
I know that sounds like a weird thing to pitch, but it's so damn good. It's so worth checking out, and I'm so happy that it's here for another week. And it's actually got 4 screenings. It's not back to the 10 p.m.
Yes,
you know those. Oh boy, oh, yeah. 1 p.m. and 10 p.m.
Yep.
Ooh, not good. Going away Thursday. But no, seriously, one of the best films about the creative process. And I mean, you're breathless watching a person recreate a painting.
I certainly was.
So that is still out there. The Wind Rises is still out there. It's now down to 2 screenings. So I think you got 1 more week, folks. So go check that out. So And then we also have the film My Child, which is happening at IU Cinema. I'm stepping on your bit, sorry.
No, sorry.
Because it's in Nuvo. March 24th at 7 p.m. You can go to cinema.indiana.edu. There's also going to be a screening of the 2009 documentary Art and Copy at the Heron School of Art and Design, March 26th at 7 p.m. Go to iupui.edu for more information on that. Kobe, what is happening at your alma mater?
Well, they've got actually, is it spring break? It must be spring break.
Oh, that's
break
right.
This week.
Is spring break. Do they...
Well, I'm looking at the schedule here. We got a limited calendar this weekend. Just Sunday, March 23rd, 3 o'clock, Like Father, Like Son, foreign language drama from 2014. Mm-hmm. And National Theater Live, War Horse at 6:30 on Sunday evening.
This is the stage performance, not the Steven Spielberg film. So you're going to see actors with horse marionettes, and it'll be less squirm-inducing than, say, Equus, which was the other great play with horse marionettes.
You're just carrying coconuts.
No, that's we found them. That's a different story.
Okay.
That's not going to be. So, and that's it for spring break?
Yeah, I'm assuming they're probably on spring break right now. Might be coming back.
Yeah,
this weekend.
But actually, double check about My Child on the 24th. So there is that. Now, caller, according to it's in Nuvo. The Dine-In Movie Theater at Latitude 39 is open. I guess you go to latitude360.com. And a full-service Dine-In Movie Theater. Now, you might want to check to see if you can bring the little ones, because one of the screenings is The Nut Job, the squirrel animated film from January of this year, and the other one's Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, check with the kids on. Check with the
not
check
a
with management
feature,
on.
Huh?
No, I don't think
not
that's
a double feature.
Although,
okay,
a long time ago, that could have been a drive-in double feature. Mm-hmm. That's
it
a lost art
happens
when you have two films that have absolutely no business being together, and they put like the R-rated one as the second feature because they're hoping the kids will be asleep by the time
totally
they're in their popcorn and candy-induced coma. Actually, Kobe, would you pull up the AV Club for me? There's a new story, now that I bring this up. And we'll get to DVDs and Blu-rays in a little bit. But Leslie, you and Eric are here because Duck Soup is going to be playing a week from Saturday night. First
Indeed.
Off, talk about the Vintage Movie Night series.
Well, the Vintage Movie Night series has been going on since I discovered September of 2009. We've been holding that at the Garfield Park Art Center on a monthly basis, showing whatever Eric comes up with. Sometimes it's thematic based on our exhibitions or holidays or something like that. Other times it's, I want a summer of science fiction movies. What do you got? And so he's been coming up with film titles for us since then.
Yeah, all stuff culled from the bowels of my basement. All on real film.
He's not scary, folks.
Oh, I'm really scary.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a collection of real movie film, and we run it on real projectors, and I always run a cartoon beforehand. And we try and focus on stuff that you can't just go out to your local Redbox and find, and maybe stuff that's not on video at all. So it's usually a challenge to try and dig up something that, A, people will come see, and B, isn't on video. That's kind of a mysterious convergence there. You're never quite sure what it's going to do.
And it's pretty impressive. We've grown from our very first movie, which had all of 11 guests, to consistently having like between 70 and 80 people. Our tickets are $5. It's in the gallery at the Art Center in the middle of beautiful Garfield Park if you've never been there before. And you can find out information about our series this season at gpacarts.org.
Kobe, could you, since we have company, could you play Groucho Marx's entrance? It's well worth checking out.
You expecting somebody?
Yes.
Hail, 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 young man, the man.
been expecting you. As chairwoman of the reception committee, I extend the good wishes of every man, woman, and child of Fredonia.
Never mind that stuff. Take a card.
Card? What'll I do with the card?
You can keep it. I've got 51 left. Now, what were you saying?
As chairwoman of the reception committee, I welcome you with open arms.
Is that so? How late do you stay open?
I've sponsored your appointment because I feel you are the most able statesman in all Fredonia.
Well, that covers a lot of ground. Say, you cover a lot of ground yourself. You better beat it. I hear they're going to tear you down and put up an office building where you're standing. You can leave in a taxi. If you can't get a taxi, you can leave in a huff. If that's too soon, you can leave in a minute and a huff. You know you haven't stopped talking since I came here? You must have been vaccinated with a phonograph needle.
The future of Fredonia rests on you. Promise me you'll follow in the footsteps of my husband.
How do you like that? I haven't been on the job 5 minutes, and already she's making advances to me. Not that I care, but where is your husband?
Why, he's dead.
I'll bet he's just using that as an excuse.
I was with him till the very end.
No wonder he passed away.
I held him in my arms and kissed him.
Oh, I see. Then it was murder. Will you marry me? Did he leave you any money? Answer the second question first.
He left me his entire fortune.
Is that so? Can't you see what I'm trying to tell you? I love you.
Oh, Your Excellency.
You're not so bad yourself.
Oh, I want to present you Ambassador Trentino of Salvania. Having him with us today is indeed a great pleasure.
Thank you, but I can't stay very long.
That's even a greater pleasure. Now, how about lending this country $20 million, you old skinflint?
$20 million is a lot of money. I should have to take that up with my Minister of Finance.
Well, in the meantime, could you let me have $12 until payday?
$12?
Don't be scared. You'll get it back. I'll give you my personal note for 90 days. If it isn't paid by then, you can keep the note.
Your Excellency, haven't we seen each other somewhere before?
I don't think so. I'm not sure I'm seeing you now. It must be something I ate.
Look here, sir. Are you trying to...
Don't look now. But there's one man too many in this room, and I think it's you.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I want you to meet a very charming lady.
And it's about time.
Just a moment. I want to present Miss Vera Markell.
Go ahead, I can take it.
Oh, you don't understand. This is Vera Markell, the famous dancer.
Is that so? Hmm. Can you do this one? Oh. I danced before Napoleon. No, Napoleon danced before me. In fact, he danced 200 years before me. Here's one I picked up in a dance hall. Here's another one I picked up in a dance hall.
Perhaps sometime we get a chance to dance together, huh?
I could dance with you till the cows come home.
Yep.
On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows till you come home. Huh. Where's my secretary? Here I am.
Good heavens, Your Excellency.
Take a letter.
Who to?
To my dentist. Dear dentist, enclosed fine check for $500, yours very truly. Send that off immediately.
I'll have to enclose the check first.
You do, and I'll fire you.
Your Excellency. The eyes of the world are upon you. Notables from every country are gathered here in your honor. This is a gala day for you.
Well, a gala day is enough for me. I don't think I can handle any more.
If it's not asking too much, for our information...
Yeah, we won't tell you the source of where we got that clip, but you can probably tell from the quick end. Yes, you can hear that and see a lot more merriment a week from Saturday night. So go check it out if you don't have plans already.
Please do.
And plus, you will get an entire reel of 20 minutes of rare Marx Brothers trailers, including a lot of footage that never made it into the movies and some things that you've never seen before. I always try and throw that kind of stuff in. So
excellent.
If you're a Marx Brothers fan, come see this.
Cobe, no pressure. You have the Marx Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You have the Marx Brothers box set as well. Mm-hmm. So from me, he's got to educate the lad.
Good man.
But without giving away too much, Eric, how big's the basement?
I've got about 350 features on 16 millimeter and about 75 on 35 millimeter.
And how long did it take you to snag all those?
I've been collecting for about 25 years now.
Where do you search?
Anywhere from trash cans to other collectors to eBay.
There you go. Cool. Now, how many Marx Brothers do you own?
Well, the features, I only own three, but I have a lot of shorts and little oddball segments that don't appear anywhere else. So I specialize in material that you're not going to find other places. I know that people will sit there and say, dude, like, you know, I totally don't want to come to this because it's, like, boring because, like, I can sit here and watch it on video.
Not the same.
I know it's not, so I realize that I'm programming against your desire to sit up and watch something with your feet propped up on the couch.
And no pants.
Exactly. So I'm going to try
and
give
pants.
You. Oh, yeah. Come
Where
on.
Did that come from?
The male gene.
Oh, yes.
Koba.
When you come to the Art Center,
you have
please
to wear
keep
pants.
Your pants on.
Yes.
Yes.
And really, like, Eric is far too modest. Like, he is what makes that whole film series so brilliant because he can speak to the creation of the piece, the actors in the piece, strange things that happened on the set, the political time period.
He does the Robert Osborne thing.
What he can do. And the audience loves him. And we have people that come back month after month. And it makes it just this incredibly unique experience. So don't let him undersell.
Now, to sidetrack the question you had earlier, Kobe, Bianca was gone for a week, right?
Yes.
Pants were only on when you came to work, right? Just as soon as you got in the car, fling! So, yeah, you...
Back to the pants. Whatever.
Didn't want you to think I was the only one that came up with this idea.
Oh, no.
Or the two other guys in the
I've
studio.
I've never heard of this before in my life.
Well, because
you're a lady.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
I keep my pants on.
Moving on. So go through the rest of the schedule for this. Because you have something all the way through December, right?
We do. We actually were proactive. Instead of working quarterly, we put together the whole schedule for the year. So there are a couple things that I'm going to speak to that I'm really excited about. And then I want Eric to speak to a couple things that he's excited about. In the summer, the past three summers, we've done kind of a science fiction fantasy thing. So this summer in June, we're going to be showing When Worlds Collide, 1951. Mm-hmm. And in August...
In real Technicolor.
Real Technicolor.
As opposed to fake Technicolor.
Well, fake Technicolor is what you see in reprints
and
what you see on video. Real Technicolor is hasn't been printed since 1974, and on a big screen, looks nice.
Very good.
And so that'll be June 14th at 8 o'clock. And then August 16th, we're showing Invasion of the Body Snatchers from 1956.
The Don Siegel version. Mm-hmm. Sorry, this doesn't have Donald Sutherland, but it's still pretty good nonetheless.
It's better if the main actor has an overbite. So Kevin McCarthy always wins.
So I'm pretty excited about that. And then...
Don't fall asleep while watching that.
No.
Don't do that.
You can't possibly when you're in the Art Center. Why would anybody fall asleep?
I don't know, dear. That's fine. Keep going.
Okay, September 20th is X Marks the Spot, which is a little World War II drama that I thought was a lot of fun, and it's about a girl who catches a spy during World War II because she hears his voice on a radio call-in request program, which is really kind of a situation that they set up in bars where you could call in and somebody would play your record for you. So she hears the guy's voice request the record. It's a setup that nobody would do today because you could do the whole thing with an iPod. But
well, actually, that's not necessarily true because Laura Steele still stalks me, so it's all right.
Then
Hi,
in
Laura.
October will be Cabinet of Dr. Caligari with the live score.
Ooh.
And this also has the original German titles in it, not available on video. So it's a restored version with all the real changes in it and everything. Live score on film. And we'll have an actress, my lovely assistant, Glory June, will be reading the titles along with it.
So you'll be able to understand.
It.
And none of these, I can watch it at home thing because you don't have this.
You don't have this.
Ha!
On November, it'll be World War II cartoons with Private Snafu. These are original 70-year-old prints, and they're World War II cartoons. They're not always politically correct.
I was about to say, because Abdul's there. So
oh, yes.
Yeah,
there are some of those, and there are some butt jokes occasionally, but they're a lot of fun.
Guess what, folks? United States did some major propaganda jokes back in the 40s.
And they did.
And it went further than Mo is Hitler,
mm-hmm.
and way further. Or farther if you're Tyler Hansbrough.
There's a lot of really bizarre stuff in these. They were made by the Warner Brothers people. Now, I also wanted to give a special plug to what we're running next month, which is Dixiana, which nobody's ever heard of. And so we're going to get 9 people for it. And I always hate those.
No, we'll hopefully
we'll
double
at least
that.
20.
Okay.
But tell us about it.
Okay. Dixiana is a movie made by some competitors of the Marx Brothers. These guys are Wheeler and Woolsey, which I think is a fun comedy team. A lot of people don't like them. I do. Not only does this movie have a lot of really bizarre dialogue in it. Some of the writers worked on Marx Brothers films later, but I've also got a lot of the original two-color Technicolor scenes in it, So you'll get to be able to see that as well. So we're kind of following up on the theme of the Marx Brothers by having a competitor of the Marx Brothers.
Nice. And it's a chance to see something you haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. So where can folks go for more info?
You can visit gpacarts.org and find all of our movies for the year, or you can just come and visit us.
We're right in
the middle of Garfield Park. We're at 2432 Conservatory Drive, and pretty soon the fountains will be open again, and everybody will be out in the park.
Well, yep. Leslie kind of undersells herself, too, because what she's doing is running a really interesting and cool art center with a lot of neat, different kinds of art and different sorts of arts experiences, and it changes all the time. It's really an unknown gem in the arts community in Indianapolis. I can't recommend it highly enough. Even if you hate movies, come see the Art Center anyway.
which is great to say on a film show.
Sarah.
We appreciate that. So the fountains are going to be up when?
I think that they are going to be open mid-April, but definitely by the 1st of May. They were redone last summer, so they're beautiful and lit again.
They fixed the lights in them because the lights were broken for a while.
Yep.
So if I bring a quarter, a nickel, and a dime, I'll have 3 coins in the fountain.
Yes.
I guess you will.
You're right there, Cobe. And Red Clay is a great album. Shut up. Anytime I can get Kobe to just sigh heavily on radio, that's mission accomplished. Hey, we forgot. Yeah, I did win. Forgot to mention MeTV. We were talking off air. I'm in my NPR uniform, which is the Svengoolie T-shirt. But tomorrow night on MeTV, I believe, Kobe, if I'm right, Murder of the Rue Morgue.
Yes.
From 1932 with Bela Lugosi.
Mm-hmm.
So that is 10 o'clock on MeTV, 13.3. I don't know what your cable company is. You're just going to have to find that out for yourself. But complete dork fest on Saturday nights with the original Batman, Wonder Woman, which Eric and I have talked about watching on mute, not together. We already went down that path with a different joke. The original Star Trek, then Svengoolie, then Lost in Space. That's a full night right there.
Oh, yeah.
A full night of dorkdom.
A full night of dorkdom. That's right. So that is out there. Okay. 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes, we played the DVD and Blu-ray intro. That's okay. A number of big titles that are out now this week. And, of course, a lot of them got a lot of notice because of the Academy Awards. The big title, I think, for everybody is Frozen, which got 2 Academy Awards for song and animated feature. And it's a lot of fun. And I just found it's not on the DVD. But apparently a guy doing the song Let It Go, imitating all the other characters from Disney films and Pixar. So kind of like the woman that does it as different singers. There's I forget her name, but she does it as Britney and Adele and Celine Dion and others. Well, there's a guy who's singing Let It Go as Scar and Mike Wazowski and Roz and Mickey and Goofy.
Brilliant.
And it's not on the DVDs. I'm just saying that. But yes, if your children have not watched it 1,000 times, apparently Maya Studeville has been watching it 1,000 times. So ladies, kids, if your parents with small kids, this is the thing you're going to be watching for the next couple of months.
Oh my
every
gosh,
day.
Yes.
Did your kids have a thing like that?
Oh yeah.
What was it?
All the things. Although sometimes they're pretty good. I mean, they go anywhere between the Buddies movies, like the thing you watch all the time, to the Fantastic Mr. Fox.
There you go.
That's on every night. Just turn it on with the sound off.
When Emma was about 2, she at least alternated. So it wasn't just one single bloody film, but it was Monsters, Inc. and Finding Nemo.
Oh, those aren't bad.
No, they're not bad at all.
You have to skip the beginning of Finding Nemo.
She's a tough girl. She saw Mommy do Hamlet and King Lear. She's okay.
But not when she was like 3.
Yeah, actually she did.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. Tough kid.
You know her first...
In the one-upsmanship aisle, everybody. Matthew Soucy.
Mark it down, folks. Jerk face on parade.
I cried.
Well, yeah, it's a very intense.
It's sad.
You know, but Emma's a little theater savvy. Her first play was Love and Turtle Wax.
She refers to...
That was my first play with you, Matthew Soucy.
Full disclosure. Not the same production. I'm sorry.
One of my favorite things as of late is Emma referring to Jack Nicholson as the dad from The Shining.
Yeah. I keep telling her to try to put Mitt Nicholson's name to memory, but what am I going to do? She's 12. It's because we have a tradition. Well, we have a tradition.
That's just the best way to reference.
Yeah, because on Oscar Day, we always watch an Academy Award winning film, and Emma had a choice. Talk about tough choices. More than Divergent, but she had a choice. She had a pick between Unforgiven and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and she picked Cuckoo's Nest because she goes, I like Clint. I've seen a lot of Clint's films, but I want to see the dad from The Shining
because he's so cozy.
Oh dear! And that movie is such an up too. How did she feel about
that? Cuckoo's? Yeah, she said, Dad, the first half was hysterical. Second half, major downer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it is.
A little bit.
So. But she has witnessed tragedy on the stage and screen at a young age. Maybe this is why she's in her black T-shirt and anime phase. I don't know.
She's not just 12. She's 12.
And also, speaking of which, a film that she really enjoyed because she has seen this filmmaker's other work, American Hustle. She's a fan of Silver Linings Playbook and The Fighter. So, or David O. Russell's Goodfellas, and I'm trying to get her to watch Goodfellas because I keep telling her it's from the director of Hugo. But yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of not really representative either.
No, I think it actually is, seeing Mr. Scorsese's work. Because you could make a concert film, you could make Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore, and then you could also make The Last Temptation of Christ and Hugo. Yeah, I think that is. She just has to be aware of the range of it.
Oh, it's nice to be aware of the range, look, but you don't know what you're walking into.
I learned, because two of my favorite filmmakers are Woody Allen and Martin Scorsese, I learned right off the bat I was not going to be able to show my favorite and what I thought were his best films to my child. You know, her first Scorsese film was Hugo. Her first Woody Allen film was Midnight in Paris. Not bad. Then you don't follow up with Crimes and Misdemeanors. You go back to the early funny stuff.
Yeah.
Take the Money and Run, Bananas, Annie Hall, you know, those. And by the way, with Annie Hall, Lynn said, you're gonna really understand a lot of your father's humor after you watch Annie Hall. And so she was right. So anyway, yeah, I learned. Yeah, I know I couldn't start her with Goodfellas and Taxi Driver. Give me a little credit.
I'm giving you credit.
Okay. Also on DVD and Blu-ray this week is Saving Mr. Banks. If you can get past the fact that in real life, Emma Thompson's character cried because she hated Mary Poppins, you'll enjoy the film. There's that. I'm sorry, I'm going to take another drink from my Haterade mug.
There really is a Haterade mug, too. That's kind of cool.
Oh, this is from Kobe.
Wow.
This is Kobe. You want to play it again?
Oh, yeah.
You missed it?
You drink your Haterade. I
do drink my Haterade.
Being a hater.
Yeah, I know. Emma Thompson playing a role that Maggie Smith could have done 20 years ago. And Tom Hanks doing the best he can to cover the halo that was put over Walt's head as far as representation in this film. Colin Farrell, though, best thing about the film, playing Mr. Banks in real life. Also out is a film that I thought a lot of people were going to give some Oscar buzz to, but it didn't, and that was Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom. But Idris Elba, great performance, just not quite in the top five. And then Kill Your Darlings. This is the Daniel Radcliffe as a young, not William Burroughs, Jack Kerouac.
Oh.
Jack Kerouac. So, and by the way, we talked earlier about cinema gene pools. Apparently, Daniel Radcliffe's, in this film, the parents played by Daniel Radcliffe, but the character, you have David Cross and Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Okay.
Don't hurt yourself on that one. But Michael C. Hall's in it as well, Ben Foster, and it's a little more warts and all look at New York's early beat society in the 1940s. It's not inside Llewyn Davis, but a little more debauchery than I think a lot of people want to think about the 40s and 50s in New York City. So that is out there as well. A couple of old titles on on Blu-ray. Criterion has put out the documentary A Brief History of Time. And for all you Star Wars nerds out there, if you have not watched this, you really need to. Akira Kurosawa's The Hidden Fortress. Mm-hmm.
Gee, why would you watch that if you're a Star Wars fan, Matt?
Well, let's see. You have a princess who is captured. You have a samurai warrior played by Toshiro Mifune who's could be Han Solo. And then there's two, they're not droids, but they have two sidekicks that are kind of bumbling and stumbling, and they're not really helping out a whole heck of a lot.
But they're cute.
Are they the droids you're looking for?
These are the droids you're looking for. Thank you. Don't try that Alec Guinness nonsense on me. But yeah, and this is a film that Lucas has cited as an influence. So that and, of course, the serial films from his youth. Also out on Blu-ray, which I guess I didn't realize and might have to check this out, The Black Stallion. So you watch Horses on the Beach and Young Terry Garr. And because you need this on Blu-ray, Slumber Party Massacre.
Oh, gosh.
Those 80s horror films on Blu-ray, so the picture is that much clearer. Okay, Cobe, I think we have enough time. How are we on time?
You know, we got some time.
Thanks. Thanks, Joe Shearer.
Hey, no problem.
Wow. We're gonna go into the archives for a little bit. These are the films that you buy online through Paramount or Warner Brothers or Sony. You know, the ones you can't get them in stores, or as Kobe likes to put it.
Yeah, I'll burn it for like $5.
Which you're not supposed to do in your college days.
No. Nope.
But I the day after my play closed, I just kind of hung out around the house for several days and had a mini Peter Sellers festival, because you should.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should, actually, because I have the Kubrick Blu-ray collection.
Uh-huh.
And actually, yeah, I watched it on DVD. Now I'm watching it on Blu-ray. So a fun double feature. Don't know if you should watch. You actually watch these in this order. Lolita and then Dr. Strangelove. Don't flip those.
No, that's a great double feature. I like that.
The many, many voices of Peter Sellers. He still should have won Best Actor in 1964. No disrespect, Rex Harrison, but come on, Dr. Strangelove's a masterpiece mm-hmm. of dark comedy. Why am I bringing this up? I'll get to it. There was also his what should have been his last film, one of his finest performances from 1979, Being There, directed by Hal Ashby. If you liked Forrest Gump, throw it away and watch Being There.
Absolutely.
Same story, shorter, and less getting pounded over the head as far as the message.
Yes.
Now, I bring up, these are all not into the archives. What is in the archives is a 1973 film that I'd heard of but had never seen called The Optimist. And he plays a street musician who is a vaudeville performer who is retired. He's now a street musician. He comes across two kids who come from the hardworking London home in the 1970s. Dad's always at work. Mom has a baby. And it has elements of a Dickens feel, but it's not as criminal. That's not criminal at all, but it is a rooted performance by Peter Sellers. And by the 70s, I think people just wanted him to do, they were throwing ridiculous amounts of money at him to do Clouseau and Fu Manchu and Murder by Death and just kind of do these over-the-top characters. And this, except for Being There, was the last grounded, rooted performance from Sellers, and it's really good. And it's considerably different from the other films I had already mentioned. So look for that. Do you have Chris's thing there?
Yes, I do. Just you know.
Wait for a second.
Yeah.
While you do it online. Yeah.
Doing our the annual show of dead people we like.
there's a pretty big one this week.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Yes.
That's right, because that's better sounding than celebrity obits or Hollywood obits. But a famed cinematographer, Oswald Morris, died at the age of 98. Yes, we talk about cinematographers on Film Sociology. Oswald Morris is best known for his collaborations with John Huston. The first real major film of note he did was with John in 1952, Moulin Rouge, with Jose Ferrer. Also worked on Beat the Devil, which hopefully someday will get an actually decent print of some kind, shape, or form.
I know where it is.
Really?
Yes.
We have to talk later.
I corresponded with Morris 2 or 3 years ago.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. He shot Our Man in Havana, and we were trying to figure out where certain footage came from. And I wrote him, and he wrote me back, and he said, I've never seen this before. It's really kind of odd.
Cool. Okay, other titles, because if you haven't seen these films, you really knew. Moby Dick with, of course, Gregory Peck. Heaven Knows Mr. Allison, fun film. Farewell to Arms, Look Back in Anger, The Entertainer, Lolita, which we were already talking about, Guns of Navarone, Of Human Bondage, The Hill, fine Sidney Lumet film. Also from Sidney Lumet, Spy Who Came in from the Cold, Stop the World, I Want to Get Off, Taming of the Shrew, The Bizarre Reflections in a Golden Eye, got an Academy Award nomination for Oliver, Goodbye, Mr. Chips, the first of two musicals from Peter O'Toole, Scrooge, won an Oscar for Fiddler on the Roof. He also did Sleuth, Macintosh Man, Bram Stoker's Dracula, not the one with Gary Oldman, the one with Jack Palance. Look it up. The Odessa File, The Man with the Golden Gun, The Man Who Would Be King, 7% Solution, Equus, Oscar nomination for The Wiz, Just Tell Me What You Want, The Great Muppet Caper, goes back to the first film we talked about, and his last film as a cinematographer from 1982, The Dark Crystal. Salute to you, Mr. Morris. Some words to live by.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Leslie, Eric, thank you for hanging out. You asked for it.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
Go see Duck Soup a week from tomorrow at Garfield Park Arts Center. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
We go home. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.